Glad that you could be with us tonight. What do you think about the Christ? That's one of the most fundamental questions that anybody can consider. Jesus asked that question in Matthew 22, verse 42. He had a specific aspect of the Christ in mind, but the question in general should challenge every person. Who do you believe Jesus is? What do you understand about His character, His nature? What does He mean in your life? And how important is He to you? And of course, one of the fundamental purposes of the Bible is to answer those kind of questions, to give us what ought to be the correct answers. One way it answers them is by describing the different work that Jesus has done. And what we want to do this evening is to consider what the Bible says about a particular aspect of His work. And that is, in particular, we want to consider the Bible teaching about the role of Jesus in creation and in the preserving of the earth and the universe and life and so on. What role, if any, did Jesus have in creation? What role does He have in preserving the universe so that it continues to exist? And what can we learn about who He is and what He's like based on His role in creation? That's what I'd like for us to spend some time talking about this evening. First of all, let's look at the concept of creation and the importance of creation and what it tells us about God, and then we'll look at Jesus' role in it and then some lessons we can learn about Jesus. What does the Bible tell us about creation? The first thing I want to emphasize is lots of scriptures show us that only God could create the universe and sustain the universe. No one but God could have that power. And of course, we have lots of scriptures that show that, going back to Genesis chapter 1 with the 6 days of creation. The record repeatedly tells us there that God is the one who did it. In the beginning, God. But then with the various days, God said and God made and God saw and so forth. So the work of creation is the work of God. Now, if you look at Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, we're told that this could only be God that could do this. Isaiah 45 and verse 18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited." The one who created the heavens, that's God. He is God. And so from this we understand then, the last part of verse 18, "I am the Lord, and there is no other." See, there's nobody else could have made it. God is God because He made the worlds, and there could be no other God because nobody else made the worlds, the universe. Then Acts chapter 17 in the New Testament and verse 24, Acts 17 verse 24, this is one of the main points that Paul made to the idol worshippers in Athens. Verse 24, "God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." God made heaven and earth, and therefore He is Lord of it. Verse 25, "Nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things." All right, now that we have the preserving, the sustaining of the universe that He made. He made it, verse 24 says, but now verse 25, He gives life and breath and all things to those of us who live here. Verse 28, "In Him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." So not only did God make the universe, He sustains it. It continues only because His power continues to make life and our existence possible. So Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "You alone are God, are the Lord. You have made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things on it, the seas and all that is in them, and You preserve them all. And so the host of heaven worship You." So creation is a work that only God can do, and continuing to sustain and preserve the universe is something that only God can do, and He rules over it, because having made it, that gives Him the right to rule. Now that's what the Bible says about creation in general. But now what about Jesus? What does that tell us, or what can we learn about Jesus and His involvement in any of this? If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we look at that account of creation, and we sometimes point out, verse 26 and 27, that there's more than one being involved in this work. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. So in verse 27, God created man in the image of God. But in verse 27, God said, let us make man in our image. So that God that we're talking about, who is the creator of, in this particular passage, man, is plural. Let us make man in our image. So you have God speaking among himself, or among God, deity, and God did the work. Nobody else could do it but God, and yet the being that's involved is described with plural terms, us. So who is God talking to? I've had people try to tell me, well, he's talking to the angels. No, he's not talking to the angels for a couple of reasons. First of all, this is God who made us. The angels did not make us. That's a point we've already learned. Only God could make the universe. Only God could make us. So whoever this is that made man is God. And furthermore, it says, let us make man in our image, verse 26, in the image of God he made him, verse 27. So the us is God. So there's beings, plural, involved in God. The God who made us, in some sense, is plural. Well, in what sense is that true? Well, if you look in John chapter 1, and verses 1 through 3, John explains that there was more than one being, more than one individual in God who was present at that creation. John chapter 1, and the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Now this word, of course, verse 14 shows us, is Jesus. So Jesus was there at the creation. He was with God, and he was God. So you have God talking to God. But there was more than one being in God. The Holy Spirit is also there, Genesis 1 shows us. But we're focusing tonight on Jesus. Jesus was there. He possessed deity, but he was there with God. So the Father was there, and the Son was there in the beginning, and all things were made through him. That's the Word. That's Jesus. Everything that was made, Jesus made it. Without him, nothing was made that was made. It was all made through Jesus. So God, the Father, was certainly there. The Holy Spirit was there. But the Son was the one through whom the things, the work was actually brought about. He did the work of creation. So if you look at Colossians chapter 1 then, verse 16 and 17, that idea is repeated. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Colossians 1:16, talking about Jesus in the preceding verses. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and him all things consist. All right, so again the passage repeats that Jesus is the one through whom all things were made and created, and they were created for him, the passage tells us. But also, again, you see the idea that all things consist in him, verse 17. So not only, as we saw with God, did he make all things, but he preserves all things. They continue to exist because of God. Well, that's true of Jesus, you see. All things were made through him, and in him all things consist. They were made for him, that is to serve him, to honor him. He is Lord over all, but he preserves that which he made. Then look in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 2 and 3. And again, a similar passage. How that God, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his presence, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. There it is again. In verse 2, through him, that is through the Son, God made the worlds. And verse 3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. So we continue to, the world continues to exist by the power of God. So in contrast to created things, God is the source. He is the creator and the sustainer. The power of life exists in God. But God was always existed. Nobody gave him existence. He always existed. And no one sustains him. He continues by inherent power within himself. But that as the creator, he brought everything else into existence. And he continues to sustain everything else. So he has inherent life and existence in himself. He gave existence to everything that was created and sustains it by his power. But that work that only God can do was in fact done by Jesus, the passage says. And so the Bible is classing Jesus with God, not only with the Father and the Holy Spirit, but as deity. Jesus is not classed down here with us creatures, us created beings. He is classed with God, with the creator, not with the created beings, with the one who sustains the universe, not with that which is sustained. And so when we consider the world, and H, do we understand that? We appreciate that? When we talk about creation, we're talking about Jesus. When we talk about sustaining the continued existence of the world, we're talking about Jesus. God did it, but in particular, Jesus did it and continues to do it. Now, the question then is, what does that tell us about the nature of Jesus? When we understand Jesus as creator, what does that tell us about his character, about what he's like? Well, creation teaches some very important lessons about the nature of God. And since Jesus is the creator, then these lessons apply to him, not just to the Father. So let's look at some lessons that we can learn about Jesus as our, because we understand him to be the creator. In the first place, then, he must be eternal. Now, sometimes we have folks, Jehovah's Witnesses and others you might talk to, who claim that Jesus did not exist in eternity in the past. They claim that Jesus was a created being, like us human beings and like angels and so on, that God, the Father, brought Jesus into existence, they tell us. So they don't class Jesus with the Father as the eternal existent creator. They class Jesus with the created beings, with the creatures. And therefore, in that sense, they say he does not possess deity in the same sense the Father does. They say, in fact, he's Michael the archangel. But if Jesus is the creator, not a creature, then Jesus must be eternal. And that's what John 1 said about it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus existed in the beginning, and then verse 3 says, by him were all things made that were made. Without him was not anything made that was made. Everything created was created by Jesus. Therefore, Jesus was not created. Can't have been created. How could he have been created if he made everything that was made? He didn't make himself. So whatever was made by Jesus. He didn't make himself, therefore Jesus wasn't made. Nobody made Jesus. Jesus is eternal. He was there in the beginning with the Father, eternal. And Colossians 1 and verse 16 again, all created things in heaven and on earth were created by him. And then passage then says, therefore he is before all things. You see, well, of course that makes sense. The Creator had to have been there before the things that he made. And so Jesus is eternal. He created all things. He didn't create himself, and therefore he is eternal. And to say he's a created being, then, is to lower him from the position that the Bible gives him. He is not classed with us created beings. He is classed with the Creator, with the Father, and the Holy Spirit, with eternal existent deity. And of course, there's other passages that affirm that. Look at Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and we have this prophecy about the birth of the ruler, who of course was fulfilled in Jesus. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. The passage says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now that's fulfilled, of course, in Jesus and in Matthew in Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. That passage is quoted and applied to Jesus. And so Jesus is said to have been from of old, from everlasting. Well, that's the language that's used for deity in general in the Old Testament. Jesus is eternal. Psalm 102, verse 24 to 27, His years are throughout all generations. In contrast to the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth are temporary. They had a beginning. They will perish. But His years have no end. Now that's also fulfilled in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, proves that spoken of Jesus. So when the Psalm 102 says His years throughout all generation, Jesus has no beginning. He has no end. He is eternal. And we can see that. That's demonstrated to us then by the concept of creatorship. If He's the creator, He must be before that which He brought into existence. All things were created by Him. He, therefore, is eternal. Do we believe that? Do we understand and respect that the Son of God, who came to earth to live as a man, that wasn't the beginning of His existence. He was there in the creation. He was there from eternity. He is eternal. Secondly, if He's eternal, we learn as the Creator, He must be all-powerful. That also is a characteristic of the Creator. Creation is one of the main proofs of God's power and God's wisdom. Who can look at the universe and deny that the Maker had to be all-wise, infinitely wiser and infinitely more powerful than we are? Because we can't even begin to make the kinds of things we see around us. And the Bible says that's the case. Psalm chapter 136, verse 5 through 9. And just a few of the many, many scriptures we could talk about that demonstrate that creation shows the power and the wisdom of God. Psalm 136, verses 5 through 9. It says, To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule the day, to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. What does that tell us about God? The God who can make the sun and the moon, the stars, the earth, and the sea and all these things. What does it tell us? It says by wisdom He made those things. Infinite wisdom. A God whose wisdom is beyond our comprehension. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 15. He established the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heaven by His understanding. And if we think about the great wisdom that would require to make, even if we think of plants and animals, let alone human beings and the heavenly bodies and the sun, the moon, the stars, the wisdom, the power that would be required, how could anyone have done that without incredible wisdom? And Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for You. If God can make the universe, what could He not do if He would choose to do it? He can do anything. Now, the point of many of these scriptures, then, is creation teaches us that about God. When you understand what I understand about God, then we understand God is unlimited in wisdom and power. And how do we know that? Well, one way we know it is because of creation. But the point we're making in this lesson is Jesus is that creator. Jesus is the one who made the heavens and the earth. Therefore, Jesus must be unlimited in wisdom and power. And that's exactly what the Bible says. You see, when we begin to understand and appreciate that Jesus is the one through whom all of these things were made, that the God that we worship consists of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the three make up one God, but Jesus was the power through whom this was done, then Jesus must be all-wise and all-powerful. So Matthew 28 and verse 18, He said, all authority has been given unto Me in heaven and on earth. He has all authority. His power is unlimited. Or look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And 21. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. Jesus, the one who will come again and judge us, that one is able to bring everything in power and subjection to his power, the passage says. And so Revelation 17 and 14, 19, 16 says he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is above, his power is above all, any king, any lord. Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. And John 16, 30, John 21, 17, he allowed people to say that he knew all things. So if we understand and appreciate creation, we understand that means that our God is infinite in wisdom, infinite in power. But if Jesus is the creator, then Jesus is infinite in wisdom and infinite in power. And so we need to understand and appreciate that. We often honor people in our society for having done things that we consider to be in some way great and maybe making something. We think of throughout history, Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Edison and these great inventors who we honor for making things. And from time to time, prizes are given, Nobel Prizes for some discovery in chemistry or whatever. And so we honor people for their discovery. But the truth is, the things that we make or the things that we discover are just thinking God's thoughts after him. As some people have said, we're just discovering things that God already made or gave us the means to make them, and they're just tiny and practically insignificant when you think in terms of the universe. God made the universe. If some man deserves to be honored for having made something like a telephone or an electric light bulb, how about God who made the whole universe? And if we're going to honor and respect people for making such things, then how about honoring God for making the universe? And in particular, the point of our lesson tonight, how about honoring Jesus, the one through whom it was all made? Do we respect and honor him and appreciate him as the all-wise, all-powerful creator? And if he made everything, then God would have authority over it. That is, the universe that he made should be subject to his rule, to his control. And of course, the Bible says that about God, that we've already looked at it in Acts 17 and verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth. Why is he the Lord? The Lord meaning ruler. Why? Because he made it. That's what Paul said. I hope that as we are challenged by the thought of creation, that it helps us to understand that it is fundamental, absolutely fundamental, to God's deity that he is the maker. He rules over the world because he made it. He rules you. He rules me because he made us. Look at Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 24, and verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Why does the world belong to God? Why do the people, everybody who lives on the earth, why do we all belong to God? Because he made us. Of course. What a maker makes belongs to him. He creates it. It's his possession. Psalm 89, verse 11 and 12, the heavens and the earth and all its fullness are yours because you founded it and created them. So if God made it, then it should submit to his rules. He controls it. He has the power to determine what ought to happen here. Psalm 97 and verse 5, Joshua 3, verse 11 and 13, he is the Lord of the whole earth. Why? Because he made it. Sometimes other passages use the word Lord to refer to a human being, such as a master who would have maybe servants, or maybe some civil ruler. Sometimes the word Lord is used to them. But as people, whatever authority we might have is limited. You see, we just have authority over a certain area or a certain few number of people. But the point is, God is the Lord of all, Because he made it all. He's over the whole thing. Because he made the whole thing. That is fundamental to biblical teaching. But the point that we're making is, that is true of Jesus. If Jesus was the maker, then he is the Lord. He rules over all. Everyone on the face of the earth ought to submit to the rules of Jesus because he is the creator. Colossians 1 and verse 16, all things were created for Jesus, not just by him, but by him and for him, the passage says. That is, for his service, for his pleasure, to do his will. The creator, by right of being the maker, has the right to rule. Look in John chapter 3, verse 31. John chapter 3 and verse 31. The statement here made about Jesus. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. See, Jesus is above all. He's over all of it. Why? Well, because he comes from heaven. But he comes from heaven because he was eternal. But he's eternal because he's the maker. Okay? So, Jesus rules over all. So, Acts 10:36, Romans 10:12, he is the Lord of all. A maker controls what he makes. I tried in preparing this lesson to think of some illustration. I could only come up with some silly little thing. So, a number of years ago, those of you who come to my house know I used to have my study down in my basement. I had a computer desk. Well, I made it out of wood. Served the purpose well enough. Recently, I moved my study upstairs. When I moved it upstairs, it didn't fit in that room quite right, so I had to modify it. What gave me the right to change that desk? I made it. It was mine. And see, I don't have the right to go to your house and change your computer desk. I don't have the right to go to Clint's house and start changing his computer desk without his authority. Because I didn't make his desk. It doesn't belong to me. Now, in that very silly, simple little illustration, we understand the point. God made the whole universe. The sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the animals, the people, it's all under his power. But specifically, it was Jesus who did it. So everything, everybody on this, the whole world ought to submit to Jesus. Do we appreciate that? Do we understand it? Yes, we ought to submit to Jesus because he died on the cross to save us from our sins. But before he ever even came into earth and lived here, everybody should submit to him. Because he made us. He is the maker. And therefore he is the ruler. Now the bottom line of all that, what all that means is then, of course, that Jesus is deity. Creation proves God is God. Creation is the defining proof of God in the Bible. That's why we recognize the God of the Bible as the true God. We don't recognize some heathen deity as the true God because they're not the maker. We don't recognize the sun itself as God because the sun was created. It's not the creator. God is the creator. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 15, Hezekiah prayed and said, God alone is God. He made heaven and earth. How do we know he's God? Because he made heaven and earth. The God who made heaven and earth, that's the true God. Anything that didn't make heaven and earth is not God. Psalm 95 in the first seven verses, the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. You see, he made the sea. His hands formed the dry land. Worship the Lord our Maker, for he is God. The God who made the earth and the land and everything on it, that's the God. Other gods are not real gods because they didn't make these things. And that's the point then of Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. And again, many other scriptures, but specifically this passage that we often look at in regard to this, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now understand, the passage says we can see through the things that are made. Not just God's power, we've already talked about that, the power, but his Godhead. The very fact that he is God is demonstrated by the fact that that's how the world came into existence. And there's no other explanation for how it came into existence. So all of these passages are teaching us that that's what creation shows us about God. But Jesus is the Creator. He's the one through whom this was all done. So John 1 and verse the first three verses, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. By Him were all things made that were made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So the Word was God. He's the Maker. He made all things. That's what it says. So how do I know that Jesus is God? Because He's the Maker. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. We read that a few moments ago too. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. He has in these past days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things. There's the rulership. Through whom He also made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice, Jesus is the express image of God's person. What does that mean? That means that whatever God the Father is like, that's what Jesus is like. You see, they've got the same character. He's the express image. He's just like the Father. But the passage tells us He made the world. Do you see that? So if you understand the concept of the Father being deity, then Jesus is deity too. He was the Maker. The concept of God is that of creation, and God, Jesus is the one through whom it was done. Look at chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 8. Same passage. But to the Son, He says, this is the Father speaking, to the Son says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Your kingdom. The one being addressed is God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Verse 10, And You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. So whoever this is being addressed is God, because He laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of His hands. But this is the Father speaking to Jesus in this passage. The Father calls Jesus God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. You laid the foundation of the world, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. Okay, so when we understand what the Bible is telling us about Jesus as Creator, then we understand Jesus is not down here with us created beings. So He came to earth as a man, yes. But He was deity who took on the form of a man. He always was deity. He always will be deity. And so when Thomas said to Him in John 20 and verse 20 and 29, He said, My Lord and my God. He was stating the conclusion that we need to come to. He is the Lord of all. Why? Because He made it all. He rules over all. He is God. He possesses all the qualities and characteristics of deity, always have, and always will, because He is the Maker. So the essence of deity or Godhood is that God is the Creator, and therefore all created things are subject to Him. And if we miss that, we miss the essence of Godhood, the essence of deity. And we miss all of that then if we accept any of these ideas that put Jesus down here with us created beings. But when we understand that He is the Creator, we understand He's not down here with us. He's up there with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Together, they are the one God that we worship. Now, what does it all mean to you and to me? What's the bottom line, the application? Well, first of all, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit rule the universe because God made the universe. You, me, every one of us, the Creator has the right to make the rules. You and I don't have the right to make the rules. We don't have the right to change the rules. We don't have the right to criticize the rules. That's God's role, to make the rules. Our job is to submit, because we are the creatures. He's the Creator. Secondly, if we disobey the rules, that's sin. And God, the Creator, has the right to punish that creature which He made to follow His rules if we don't keep them. We ought to obey. Only God can decree the reward or the punishment, and we have no right to try to change His decrees in regard to sin in regard to the punishment for sin. We don't have the right to say, I don't think God has the right to send people to hell. He made us. He has the right to do what He chooses to do. And it's not up to us to try to change those rules or those decrees. He's the Creator. And then, in particular, when we do sin, only God has the right to declare the grounds on which He's willing to forgive us. You see, that's not our job. We don't have the right to try to dictate to God, I think you ought to forgive us on this grounds or that grounds, or I don't think you ought to punish this person, or you ought to forgive that person. That's not our business. Our job is to find out the terms, the conditions upon which He is willing to forgive, and accept them, and follow them without trying to change them. But the incredible thing, well, all that's true. This great God who rules the universe and has declared and determined the principles upon which we were forgiven, that great God became a man and died for the creatures. That was His determination as to how He would forgive us of our sins. Was the Creator Himself would come to earth and live as a man and die as a man, a horrible, horrible death. So that those of us who are His creatures, who have so defiled our relationship with Him, could be forgiven and have eternal life. That God deserves everlasting gratitude and service. Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but in this lesson we're talking specifically about Jesus. Jesus deserves our service because He is our Creator, and He deserves it because He died and gave His life for our sins. So the question then is, what are we going to do about that? What choice will we make? Will we come to Him and accept the forgiveness that He offers? Or are we going to quibble? Are we going to try to change the rules? Are we going to try to do it our way? Or are we going to accept the fact that Jesus made us, died to forgive us, and that's our only hope? Will you become a Christian? If you haven't done that, why not do it tonight? If you've done it and fallen away. If you're not submitting to the rule of God, if you're not submitting to Jesus' instructions, and you need the forgiveness of your sins, whatever you need, won't you come and make it known as we stand and while we sing?